today, we are going to be covering the story of Samson and Delilah from Judges chapter 16. I'm going to read a few verses summarizing the highlight points of today's message. Then, in a few minutes, we'll unpack some of these verses a bit more. So you can be seated. You can stay seated if you'd like. Sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah. One day, Delilah pouted. "How can you tell me that I love you when you don't share your secrets with me?" Samson didn't realize that the Lord had left him. Later, Samson prayed, "Sovereign Lord, remember me again, O God. Please strengthen me just one more time."
Now today, we are going to talk about spots.
What? Spots?
Spots. I can hear your thoughts. I can hear them from all the way up here. You think, are you talking about my freckles? No. My birthmarks? No. Absolutely not. Your moles? No. And I'm not talking about my moles either. Your pimples? Yeah. Absolutely. That's disgusting. No way. We're simply going to talk about spots. As many of you know, I'm a visual learner and teacher. I find myself remembering things better when they are both simple and visual. And I do spend a fair amount of time in prayer asking God to help me see and teach these messages creatively. So simple works for me. But it's not as easy as you might think. What you may not know is that there are a ton of ideas that are discarded along the way to what we end up with on a day like today. Photos, videos, stories, metaphors, they're all relevant and applicable, yet for a variety of reasons, they get cut. For example, something like this. You know? I thought this was a great idea. This was the beginning of this message. Jameson and Delilah. It didn't make the cut, okay? Yeah, well, kind of, but. So God's word and God's truth delivered simply and visually, easy to understand and apply. That is the goal. And that reminds me of a photo I took a couple weeks back. Simple. Garage new. I mean, it's two words. Garage and new. But it is not clear. It looks like a garage sale. I thought it was a garage sale, but they got Cabbage Patch Kids and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire VHS tapes. That stuff is not new. Okay? It's got to be simple and clear for me. I'm a simple person. But maybe not quite as clear as this car that I was behind at a stoplight a couple months ago. Jesus fan. Okay, I mean, cool. I like to think of myself as a huge fan of Jesus, but I just don't know that this is how I might choose to publicly express my adoration. I mean, I run a yellow light, okay? Or I fail to yield to some peds, and Jesus gets a bad rap. Not cool. All right.
So generally speaking, in the Samson and Delilah story, Delilah is the one who gets the bad rap. She gets the blame. It's similar to the story of Adam and Eve. The basic summary is, if the woman wasn't there to tempt the man, he would never have gotten into trouble.
Now, I got to tell you, as a man, that is just not true. Okay, a man can find a ton of ways to make a bad choice on his own. And all the men said, "You liars, listen to me. Evil Knievel. It's not Sheila Knievel." I was thinking this week of the most ridiculous, dangerous, and outlandish sports, okay, that are anywhere. So I started Googling them, and I saw a trend. All of these crazy things, all the most ridiculous sports were started by, you guessed it?
Dudes.
Men. Meet the brainchild of Frenchman André Jacques Guérin. Skydiving. Parachute jumping. What? Jumping out of an airplane? Well, that's too boring for you. Don't worry, because Jerry Kuzma and his sports got you covered. Jerry? Wingsuits. What? Wait, I mean, take a look at this. You gotta be kidding me. What? That photo right there makes me feel all kinds of ways, and none of them are good. They call that guy Birdman. Those two things don't really mesh together in my world. Bird and man. All right, not cool. Parasailing, bungee jumping, base jumping, all dudes. But to me, Mr. Isaac Van Amber takes the cake with his creation. What are you doing? A lion tamer? Like, you got to be kidding me.
So what you're saying here, honey, is men don't need women to make unwise decisions.
Yes, dear. Well, we'll speculate that it is possible that some, if not all, of these sports and ideas were created to impress women. Hey, honey, you want to see something cool? Usually ends up like this. All right? Jeez, whatever. Anyway, let's take a look at the life and times of Samson, understanding that Samson was fully responsible for his own choices. We got that? Samson was fully responsible for his own choices. Very good. It is important to grasp who Samson was to get the full impact of what transpired in his life. So let's take a peek back at the calling on his life.
A more detailed version of this story is found in Judges chapter 13. Here's a brief overview. When Samson's mom was pregnant, she was visited by an angel of the Lord. Though she was previously unable to have children, this angel of the Lord told her she would soon become pregnant and give birth to a son. The angel then told her he would be a Nazarite, meaning a holy person specifically set apart for God's service. So let's see what that vow and commitment looked like.
All right, so here's the Nazarite vow. So you can see that the vow is typically made voluntarily, except in Samson's case, where he was dedicated by his parents at the instruction of the Lord. Next, you can see it's usually for a specific time period, except in Samson's case, where it was from womb to tomb. Okay, so that was the vow. Now, what is the vow itself? No raisins. That's a bummer. Man, I love raisins. No grapes. I love red grapes, right? When they're from Chile at Woodman's in the middle of summer. Oh, they're so good. They're $1 a pound. They're so good. You want to bless me? Get me some of those. Be amazing. Nothing from the grapevine, not even wine. Okay.
What?
We'll move on. No being near deceased bodies. Okay? No razor blades to the hair. No haircuts. None. Zippo. Zilch. All right, so let's get back to the story. Let's unpack some of these verses. Babe, you want to read these?
Sure. Sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who lived in the valley of Sorek. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "Entice Samson to tell you what makes him so strong and how he can be overpowered and tied up securely. Then each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver."
So here we see Samson falling in love with Delilah. Samson fell in love. Notice how it doesn't say they were in love, or that they had fallen in love with each other, or that Delilah had fallen in love with Samson. It simply says, Samson fell in love with her.
So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me what makes you so strong and what it would take to tie you up securely." Samson replied, "If I were tied up with 7 new bowstrings that have not yet been dried, I would become as weak as anybody else."
Now, of all the questions Jill has ever asked me in our relationship, even at the very beginning, she never once inquired how to tie me up so tightly that I would be incapacitated. Kind of a strange question if you ask me.
Hey, Jameson.
Yeah.
What would it take to tie you up so tightly that you'd be rendered powerless?
Okay, babe. Cool. That is so not cool, actually. It took 17 years, but apparently she asked. All right, moving on.
So the Philistine rulers brought Delilah 7 new bowstrings, and she tied Samson up with them. She had hidden some men in one of the inner rooms of her house, and she cried out, "Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." But Samson snapped the bowstrings as a piece of string snaps when it is burned by fire. So the secret of his strength was not discovered.
Next.
Afterward, Delilah said to him, "You've been making fun of me and telling me lies. Now please tell me how you can be tied up securely."
So Delilah does realize that Samson had lied to her. She was not joking around about how to tie him up securely. She actually tried to do what he said. So the next time she asked him, the second time, she put a little sugar on it.
Please.
Right, please, right?
Tell me. Babe.
No, focus.
Samson replied, "If I were tied up with brand new ropes that had never been used, I would become as weak as anyone else." So Delilah took new ropes and tied him up with them. The men were hiding in the inner room as before, and again Delilah cried out, "Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." But again Samson snapped the ropes from his arms as if they were thread.
Now this pattern is starting to sound familiar, isn't it? This is now the second time she asked him, "How do I tie you up, secure you?" And it's now the second time that he lied to her. Let's go on.
Then Delilah said, "You've been making fun of me and telling me lies. Now tell me how you can be tied up securely." Samson replied, "If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with a pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with a pin. Again, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric.
Though he does lie a third time here, this is the third lie. Did you notice how he's inching closer to the truth? This time it has to do with his hair. I want to show you a photo here. I've noticed that many people think of sin like this. It's a cliff that we fall off of. There's a ton of warning signs and alarm bells and air horns alerting us to the danger. It's that big calamitous plunge off of the road that we were previously on, a free fall down into the destruction of sin's grip. But in my life, I have found it to be just the opposite of that. I found it to look and be more like this. This is a photo I snapped last weekend while jogging up in Door County. I was thinking through this message and got this visual idea that came to me. The road here is about a half mile long at this stretch. The decline of this road is so slight that it's imperceptible. That's why I crouched down on the ground and took the photo at ground level, because I didn't even notice that I was on a decline. until I had to go back up. And that's how I see this. Samson was playing with fire. He was breaking his lifelong commitment, his Nazirite vow. He was pushing boundaries. He was inching closer to the proverbial line. So let's see what happened then.
Then Delilah pouted. How can you tell me I love you when you don't share your secrets with me? You've made fun of me 3 times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong. She tormented him with her nagging day after day until he was sick to death of it.
And what's going to happen next? I mean, let's look at this pattern. The question, tell me how to tie you up. The answer is a lie, but she didn't know it at first. So she does what he says. It doesn't work. So she asks him again, tell me how to tie you up. And he lies to her. She tries it. It doesn't work. She tries the third time. Samson, tell me how to tie you up. Yeah, take my hair. You tie it together. It's a lie. And she just keeps after him over and over. He was already close to the truth, wasn't he? He was already talking about his hair. He was already walked right up about as close as one can get to that line. It's almost like there was a little truth in it. He was talking about his hair, maybe a little. And it's at that point that she starts guilting him and saying, I thought you loved me. And how can you say that you love me if you keep lying to me? Never mind the fact that I'm trying to tie you up securely against your will. How can you say that? You're not being honest with me. Come on. Day after day after day, it says nagging him to death. Men, be very quiet. Day after day after day after day, she keeps at him. And he was already there. I don't think he needed a big colossal push there to step over that line because he was already walked right up to it, hadn't he?
Finally, Samson shared his secret with her. My hair has never been cut, he confessed, for I was dedicated to God as a Nazirite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else.
Why? Delilah manipulated him 3 times, and after each, he could see what she was doing. Couldn't he? Couldn't he see that? I mean, we can see it. But he refused to accept the truth that was so evident right there, right in front of him. Why? Why would somebody do that? But before I tell you what I think, I want to show you something. This whole sermon, you've seen the message in the upper left-hand corner. It's in your bulletin. It's up on the screen for everybody to see. That word's been there the whole time. It says spots. You can't see it. Right now, let me go ahead and change the color of the background. Oh, there it is. There it is. The entire time, it was always there. She couldn't see it. Because it's a blind spot. If you look in your bulletin, you say, does Pastor James not know how to center the text of the message? I mean, I thought Pam was really great at that kind of thing. She is. You know why it's off center? Because it says blind spots. That's why. But you can't see the word blind. But it's there. Sometimes love or infatuation can make us blind. I think that was Samson's blind spot. What in your life are you blind to? What's your blind spot? What are you willingly blind about? What are you negligently blind to? Most cars and trucks, they've got side mirrors that look something like this, right? It's a little dark, but this is my vehicle here. And you see that smaller little mirror there in the upper right-hand corner? You know what that thing's called? Anybody? Blind spot mirror. Right. The idea behind that mirror is that it'll help show us what's in our blind spots in order to keep us what? Safe. Now check out the next picture. Same vehicle. Same mirror. There's an issue there. What happened? Well, let me tell you. I got distracted. As I was backing out of my garage, I got distracted for 1 second. And I was backing out very slowly. Because there's not a ton of space in the garage to maneuver the vehicles. So I got distracted. I took my eyes off the mirror, off the blind spot mirror, and the mirror that would help me navigate around the edge of the garage just for 1 second until I heard the dreaded sound. Right? And I stopped because I knew something bad had just happened. And I looked, and off to my right, I could see the edge of the garage lodged in between the plastic and the mirror. Now I'm in a real pickle. So I got out and I looked at it and I thought, well, if I keep backing up, I'm going to bust the whole mirror off. So if I move forward, if I go back to where I was, I think it's going to be okay. I got in. I was like, what kind of dummy takes his eye off the blind spot mirror? But I'm beating myself up for it. It's okay. I move on. Everything's okay. And I just inch forward, and I hit that gas as light as a feather as you can hit it, and the mirror went bloop. And then I knew. I had made a costly mistake. So what's my point here? You can have blind spot detectors in your life the same way that we have them in cars. In our lives, we can have accountability partners. At CR, we have sponsors. We have pastors. We have leaders. We have trusted friends and spouses and people in life group and in Bible studies. All of these people, they're looking out for you. They're all telling you, if you're willing to ask, what your blind spots are. You can have all of those people. You can have every safety measure in the world in place, but they will do you absolutely no good if you don't consult them, you don't listen to them, you don't trust them, and you don't keep your eyes on them. That's what happens. And that has been my life. We have to trust those people that God has put in our lives with our blind spots. That's right. And that is the 6-word summary. You know, every message, I boil it down to 6 words. That's the 6-word summary today. Everyone needs help with blind spots. Everyone. Not one of us in here is immune to that. Why? Because our blind spots are dangerous. And in Samson's case, it cost him dearly.
But he, Samson, didn't realize that the Lord had left him. I know a thing or two about feeling like God has walked out. And then I'm out of chances. I know the sting of what it felt like being abandoned, or what felt like being abandoned by God, and the fear that I would never be forgiven again. Now, maybe some of you are thinking, you? There's no way Jill has ever felt the same rejection and anxiousness that I felt about whether God still cares. But I have. And you know, sometimes I wonder what you think of me and what you think my life must be like. Always blessed and perfect. Charmed. I don't know. That's just what I've heard over the years, which sounds ridiculous to me. But I know how it is. You see a snapshot of me for a few moments each week. And of course, I'm at my best, you know. I'm up here singing and worshiping, totally loving every minute of it. Of course, my life is perfect, right? It reminds me of Instagram pictures and social media posts of people who only show their best photos. And even though we know that it's a facade, we believe it anyway. I know I have. Now, I'm not up here putting on a facade. But you only see a small bit of my life each week when I'm at my most happy. I know many of you here today, and you know a bit of our story. There are also many here that I do not know very well. But whatever the case may be, I'm here to tell you that I've blown it big, just like Samson. I have lied. I have broken promises. I have kept silent when I should have spoken up. And I have opened my big mouth when I should have kept it shut. You would think growing up in a Christian home, I would have known what all those pitfalls were ahead of time and avoided them. Oh, I knew them all right, but I didn't avoid them. I've partied too much. I've given too much of myself away. I've turned my back on everything I knew and believed to be true. I've cheated, manipulated, been dishonest too many times to count. I've been divorced, and I've been a single mom. I've been on food stamps. I know what it feels like to have to make the choice between filling my propane tank in the winter for heat or pay the electric bill to keep my lights on. I've been stalked, and I've had my life threatened. I've been too scared to eat for days at a time. But wait, what? I thought she said she came from a Christian home. Well, I did. And after my divorce, I thought that was the end of any relationship I might have with God. I'd gone too far. My regrets had stacked up too high, and I couldn't see past the walls they had created around me. But just as God was not done with Samson, even after Samson broke his vows, God wasn't done with me either. God still used Samson in the most incredible way, even after his brokenness. And God has used me too. I've been forgiven and redeemed. And the only one who still struggles with the regrets is me, but not God. Amen. My relationship with God has been restored. And if you can relate to anything that I've just said, know that you can be restored too.
Our God is one who takes pleasure in restoring. He honors the desperate heart cry that seeks to be reconciled. The story of Samson does not end with his vows broken. Listen to the heart of Samson here.
Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time."
There is one other blind spot we didn't touch on. One that both Jill and I would guess many of you have struggled with as well. One that, imagine Samson may have struggled with too. It's a blind spot as derailing as any other. It's a blind spot to God's grace. God's mercy to us as believers. Like Jill said, the only regrets are on this side of heaven, not in the throne room. Our God is a God who never leaves and never forsakes us. He is the one who takes the outcast and the outsider, the one who feels disqualified, and simply says, "I am with you. I love you. I was a believer, a leader, a pastor who struggled to believe that I was truly forgiven by Jesus. And I'm not talking about 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago. Since I've been in this church, I walked in here and I thought, I don't fit. These people got it together and I don't. They're not on CCAP and I am. Cool, you don't know what CCAP is. That's awesome. Don't look me up. Felt like the black sheep. Like you all have just make the right choice all the time. I can't relate to that. But I was trying to outrun my past. Like that's a different part of me. That part of me is dead and gone. That's true. And I don't live in the graveyard anymore. But if my life is a book, those are chapters in my book. And I don't glory in it. I'm ashamed of it. But Jesus has redeemed all of the story. So my own blind spot was that the grace and forgiveness of Jesus covered someone like me too. Before, yes, and after I surrendered my heart to him. Now, thankfully, through professional counseling and the life-changing Celebrate Recovery program, I have found freedom from my past and regained hope for the future. So in conclusion today, we want you to know that we all have blind spots. And Jill and I, we're not ashamed to admit it. And we've learned that you can try to see your own blind spots yourself. But if you could see them, they'd be called hard to see spots, not blind spots. Let's pray.
Lord God, blind spots are hard. They're hard to admit that we have, and they're hard to ask for help for. Help us to be transparent with those we trust, Lord. Give us the ability to process this message and prepare us for the difficult conversations that we need to have. Lord, reveal our blind spots to us in a way that only you can, so that we can live our lives in a way that you desire. Help us to hear from you through those that you send us when we are on that road of decline. Thank you for loving us enough to restore us time and again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you are struggling with feelings of despair, abandonment, hopelessness, shame and would like to pray in confidence, we invite you forward after this final amen. And the prayer team, they're going to come to the altar. These are trusted and faithful men and women of God. And if you want to remove the blind spot of living apart from the peace, the hope, and the joy that only a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, the gateway to heaven, can offer. Please come forward today and pray one-on-one with the team as well. God bless you and thank you for allowing us to share today.
Thank you.